Dad, I got you a present for Christmas. Can I give it to you early?
Sure.
Here it is.
Thank you, Rashi.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is wonderful. This envelope right here?
Yeah. It's all yours. Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Thank you. Oh, it says, it's a card. It says, any donation in your name has been made to the primate...
Needy.
The Needy Primate Foundation.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice.
I couldn't spell foundation very good.
Well, wait a minute. So you wrote this?
What? No.
So there is no... The Needy Primate Foundation is actually you.
Well, I gotta stay in bubblegum somehow.
So you basically did not spend any Christmas money on anybody and just...
Well, I did spend some Christmas money on somebody.
On somebody, and that somebody would be you?
Well, I gotta go.
Okay, well, that's fine, Rashi. Puppy? Yes, Subriga.
Puppy, I have a present for you too.
Really? Well, okay. Is it another card?
No, Puppy. Come with me. Mama?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come, I have a Christmas present for you.
Honey, did you look out the window?
Let's see, where...
There's a new black Lexus with a big red bow on it.
Oh my God, Subriga!
Is that ours? What's it doing in our driveway?
You got us a car?
See,
Subriga, where'd you get the money to do this?
Well, I worked hard and I mowed lawns and I delivered papers and I got another job and I
saved
my
lawns. Oh my God! Oh! What a suck up! You suck, dog! You ruined my whole holiday! Watch this! You know what? That present's not so nice! Give me the keys!
No!
Hey, Rashi, come back here with those keys! He's in the car. What's he doing?
I don't know. What's he doing?
He's backing up!
No!
Rashi, stop! No! Oh, man!
Ah, my Christmas gift don't look so lame now, does it? You got a big old wrecked car. What a crappy gift!
You know, it's not too late to return Rashi to the store where we bought him.
Oh, I think it is, because I've tried to do it 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, actually, you know, they went out of business.
I would too.
Yeah.
They were like, woohoo, they retired and went to Bermuda.
The first time we tried to return him, there was a sign on the door that said, out of business, suckers, he's all yours now.
Hey, this is Paul and Misty.
Yep.
Yes, and here we are for another one. And Ezra and Emily are here with us today.
Yes, that's right.
Hey.
Hello. So we're gearing up for Christmas.
Yep. Christmas is here again.
Watching Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. That's how I know the season's around.
Yeah, good one.
I've never seen the end of that movie.
That's
you know
because
what?
We always fall asleep.
We always fall
in.
Asleep. There are some movies we can stay awake through all the whole time, like Elf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always awake through Elf. Mm-hmm. We love Elf. Elf is great. I always clock out about the same time that the kids are taken back to Mars.
Yes,
and
as soon as they walk into the spaceship and they're going, oh, this is so cool, I'm done.
After Volgar tries to blow them out the airlock.
You guys
have
actually watched this movie legitimately, like not the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version, because that's the only version I've ever seen.
No, we watched the Elvira version.
We actually have the Elvira version, which is just as, I mean,
she's
still popping on saying stuff.
Yeah. But it's the airlock scene that always gets me. It's so damn dull. Everybody's walking around, nothing happens, and it's like, whatever the bad guy is.
I'm actually getting tired right now listening to you talk about the airlock scene.
What's the name of the bad guy? Like
I don't even know.
Or something, or...
Lothar
Voltron
of the Hill people? I have no idea what
know.
His name is.
I don't
is.
Know. I've never seen the end of the movie. I know that they go to Mars, and then I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And if I could have like a pot of coffee and watch that movie.
It doesn't matter. We could watch it at noon on a Thursday, and we would be zing out before the third scene. Now, what is
we could watch it Clockwork Orange style with our eyeballs peeled back,
and we would still find a way to close our eyes and go to sleep. Yeah.
Which
is the one with Stupita in it?
Stupita? Oh, that's Santa Claus.
It's just called.
It's just called Santa Claus. That's a Mexican Santa Claus film.
And now, why do you call her Stupita?
Because, well, her name's Lupita. I mean, it's a great movie. It's Santa Claus lives off the Milky Way someplace with Merlin the Magician. Apparently, that's his life partner. There is no Mrs. Claus. He lives with Merlin the Magician.
It's a very forward movie.
Yeah. And he's got slave kids from all over the world there. So
it gets better.
Little Mexican kids, little Chinese kids, and they're all making toys. And he's got wind-up reindeer. You know, because I guess the budget was so cheap they couldn't get a real reindeer. They made it in Mexico where reindeer are unknown. You know, they're mythological.
Well, clearly they're not unknown if they have wind-up versions of them.
Yeah, but there are no, like, real reindeer.
What is that thing? I don't know, but I'm going to try to wind it up. What the hell?
I don't think reindeer live south of San Diego. I think if you take them south of San Diego, they die or something.
Or they get on a fisherman's boat and go to Alaska.
Oh, there you go.
Did you hear about that?
No, what?
That guy pulled four. He was out fishing, and he pulled four black-tailed deer in his boat.
What?
It's sad.
When was it? Was this in the news?
It was just today.
What was he? He wasn't fishing for deer, was he?
Oh, well, clearly, if he would, that what would be deering.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't be fishing.
Would he use like a net?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, those goddamn dolphins, now I'm getting deer. I just want a tuna.
No, seriously, he pulled four black-tailed deer. And they don't know how many deer, how long they'd been swimming. They don't know where they came from, and they don't know why they were out in the middle of the sea.
Of the ocean?
Yeah.
I gotta see this. Well, was this on the cryptozoology site?
No, it really happened today. I'll go get the thing.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well. Anyway, back to the Mexican version of Santa Claus. It's a great movie. He's got these wind up deer. Oh, and the thing is, he's gotta get back to the North Pole before daybreak, or the deer turn into dust. They turn into white powder, which it sounds like everybody on the crew was having a little bit of white powder actually. And the villain in it is the devil. It's like old Pitch, the devil. He looks a lot like our old pal Krampus. He's wearing like red long johns with buttons up the front, and he's like an evil spirit who takes orders from
the mega devil. I feel like I saw this on Mystery
Science Theater 3002. Again, they did it. And you know who has a cameo in the movie is Deuce, because at one point Santa's chased. The devil wakes up a dog and it chases him, and it looks just like Dukes. Oh, and he's got the flower of invisibility, so he cannot be seen.
Oh,
and
I want one of those.
They always repeat, it's something like that. It's like, quick Santa, get the flower of invisibility so you cannot be seen. And if he sniffs the flower, he vanishes, but he doesn't have the flower of invisibility, so he cannot be seen, so the dog chases him. Mm-hmm. And the devil almost wins. And then I fall asleep. So for all I know, the devil wins in that one.
I've seen this one.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's seen it. It was like kiddie matinee time, you know, when I was a kid. You know, there were no movies for kids. There was Walt Disney films, and then there was just crap that they imported. There was nothing like, you know, Hugo, which we saw last week, which was good.
Oh, it was so good.
So anyway, the Mexican Santa movie was like the only thing to see. They throw like, you know, Three Stooges on the front of it. And, you know,
have you seen that new public Three Stooges domain trailer, thing, by the way?
And, everybody's up that in arms about the Three Stooges trailer. Stooges. I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
You laughed.
Fun, but yeah. It's strange. Yeah. I gotta admit.
Yeah. It's everybody says it's sacrilege. It's like, okay, come on. How good were the Three Stooges originally?
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly.
I mean, what was really sacrilege is when they were about 80 years old, they were still making appearances, mm-hmm. And they were like really old men, and they were hosting that cartoon show.
Yeah.
And it was like bad cartoon versions of them. And then it was always like, hello there, Fat Mo. Hello there, Fat Larry. Hello, Fat Curly Joe. I'm going to pretend to hit you because I can't really hit you anymore, and we'll fall over and die. Oh, here's one of our cartoons. Really depressing. And then they couldn't hit each other in the cartoons either.
You can't
be that visceral or savage in the cartoons. And that was why, like, in the 70s, I think they did robotic Stooges or something. They had to make them robots because they couldn't, you know, that was the only way they could be physically, you know, like, smack each other around. But the cartoon was so damn cheap, they never hit each other anyway. So, I don't know. For my money, it's old Stooges are the best Stooges, the old ones. There's no way to top Violent is the Word for Curly. That's the one where he goes to the college.
Okay. What? Some fish tales are hard to believe, but Tom Sater has the photos to back up the story. Second Chance Ranch told the story on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Sater told the Sitka Gazette in Corvallis, Oregon, that he was out with a charter group on a 62-foot fishing vessel when four juvenile black-tailed deer swam directly toward the boat. Once the deer reached the boat, the four began to circle, looking directly at us. We could tell right away the young bucks were distressed. I opened up my back gate and helped the typically skittish and absolutely wild animals into the boat. In all my years fishing, never seen anything quite like it. Once on board, they collapsed with exhaustion, shivering. We headed for Taku Harbor. Once we reached the dock, the first buck that we had pulled from the water hopped onto the dock, looked back as if to thank us, and disappeared into the forest. After a bit of prodding and assistance, two more followed, but the smallest deer needed some help, so they hauled him ashore in a wheelbarrow. My daughter Anna and son Tim helped the last buck to its feet. Huh. Anna later told me the experience was something she'll never forget, and I suspect the deer feel the same as well.
Wow.
That happened today.
That happened today, huh?
Yep.
Wow. And then they were out swimming in a bay or in the ocean?
Oregon.
Huh. I wonder what spooked them. It sounds like they might have been scared by something. Maybe a dog or something chased them into the water. Or maybe they just thought it was a big lake and they didn't know. You know, it's like, hey, it's probably grass on the other side of the lake.
Or they were trying to fly.
Yeah.
That could be. They ran out of their magic corn or whatever it is that makes them go.
They were leaping off off of cliffs in the hopes that they could take flight and mm-hmm. audition for Santa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of times people will say, oh, I've seen, you know, sea serpents or lake monsters, and they turn out to be deer, you know, swimming. Yeah. Because deer, you know, they swim to get from one side of the lake to another.
Well, clearly they don't have a very good sense of direction.
Well, you know, like, all right, in some Canadian lake, you know, it's like, well, there's Ogopogo, the sea monster. He's got a huge snout, you know, kind of like a moose, and these ears like a moose, and, oh, well, maybe that is a moose, you know?
Yeah.
And I think nice. A lot of times people see sea monsters, and it's like, a moose without antlers. It's wintertime.
Well, you think Nessie antlers. Is? You what? Think Nessie is just a big old deer?
I think Nessie is like vibrations in the water, you know, like waves and stuff like that. And I don't think...
Like how people put cornstarch on a speaker?
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, like Big Bang Theory and stuff.
Well,
like
no, they do that on YouTube all the time. Oh, they'll have like, they'll stretch a saran wrap over a speaker and put cornstarch and water together and make this really viscous fluid, and then it does like a dance.
I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a plesiosaur or a dinosaur, because... Those animals had to
They're
haul
They're cold-blooded, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's a cold lake, and they would have to have hauled themselves out on land to lay eggs, you know, or to they did not give birth to live young in the water.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so if you had a breeding colony of plesiosaurs, you know, they would have to haul themselves out and, you know, make a nest, you know.
Someone's going to see them at some point. Like
someone's
going
to see them, and then they say, well, they're underground caves and locks. No, there's not. Everybody wants to see something that looks like Cecil, you know, like rearing
out totally
of the
water. I totally
want to
see something that looks like Cecil.
I want to see, like, awesome. Cecil. You know, what?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Big eyelashes that are purple.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yes.
Cut noses.
I'm coming, Deanie. You know, uh-huh. Deanie and Cecil. There,
yeah, there you go. Deanie and Cecil.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
just like in the bathroom. Yeah. We have a little Cecil the sea serpent on the side of our bathtub. Oh, yeah. And Paul, I'll just tell them all at home now. Here's your shame. Plays with Cecil the sea serpent in the bathtub. That's his bathtub toy.
I can dream.
Dream nothing. You have one.
I need a propeller hat.
I have
Doesn't
one.
Need it.
I have one.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got two Beanie sea serpents that he plays with in there.
I love Beanie and Cecil. Yeah. You know, actually, for a while, I worked on a version of Beanie and Cecil that got on TV.
I'm so jealous. I didn't even know about that till recently. That's so cool.
I think that the one episode that I did is on YouTube. It's Bruce Timm directed it. That's where I know Bruce Timm from. We met on Beanie and Cecil.
Wow.
And you know, working for John Crisfalusi. Was that 20 years ago? Jeez.
That was after the Mighty Mouse run, or
yeah, I think what happened was John left and took a big chunk of the crew with him and went off into Beanie and Cecil. And then the story editor who was working on it at the time was Chuck Lorre, who had done some sitcom work, and then there, as I recall, there was a strike that year, so he. Got into he was not able to work for WGA, so he got into animation, and they liked him a lot at ABC, which did the Beanie and Cecil show. So he was working on that. I got to know him a little bit, and it was not a great situation, because working at that time, network TV was for animation was just it was pretty crummy. You know, Beanie and Cecil was always Bob Clampett's creation, and Clampett is the wildest cartoonist ever, and we all wanted to make wild cartoons, and ABC just wanted something really homogenized, you know, it was just not really good, and so, you know, it was frustrating for everybody involved. And then Chuck left, you know, to go off, and actually I think at that point the strike left, and he went off to work on another sitcom, and then I inherited the show, and John and Bruce and Bob Camp and I all worked on the show together and tried to make some good episodes, but we were undone by the network. Ultimately, it was just, you know... Actually, I heard from John about a year ago that he actually got I think it was like an animatic back of an episode that we had all worked on together, but was
just
never
recently
finished.
Like it was sent to Korea and finally made it over or something.
Well, it takes him a while sometimes. Yeah.
He said he found something. He said he had something. I had lunch with him a while back, and he said that he had. I don't think it was a finished episode. I think it was like either an animatic or some rough animation of an episode we had done about Ping Pong, the giant ape. We had done a whole like big gorilla cartoon.
Nice.
And I remember there were a lot of really great gags in there. And you're going in and you're explaining, you're trying to pitch like in 1940s style. To network executives who only know how to read scripts and are sitting there, and there are like three of them, and they're sitting there like trout going like, and you're trying to explain why a joke is funny. And they don't want to laugh.
That's your first problem.
Yeah.
You're trying to explain why a joke is funny.
Wait, you can't explain why a joke is funny. A joke
is
funny or it's not.
No, you can't. It's funny or it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. But they... you pitch to them and you show them great story drawings, and you know, there's nobody you can pitch like John Crisfalusi. He goes up there and he is the most animated guy I've ever seen pitch a cartoon. Yes,
he must be wildly successful at that.
I guess so. I mean, you know, it's like he's always doing stuff. He's doing stuff, you know, for Cartoon Network now. You know, last I heard, was doing some Adult Swim stuff. But you see him in a pitch, he's absolutely phenomenal. He's, you know, you look at the guy and you say, oh, he should be a stand-up comic. But no, you know, he should be a cartoonist in the old, you know, old school style. But then you're watching these executives who are so deadened to humor, you know, that they're just looking at this and it's like, now this is good for kids, how? And what lesson do the kids learn? And you know, they're it's like, you might as well be pitching to a stone wall. So what else are you looking for there?
Well, I'm not looking for anything. I was just wondering, like, what's on the plate for you for the rest of the month? You want to tell them? You got a really busy month coming up. Can you say anything?
I can't really talk about anything. I'm just working on you know, a ton of stuff like always.
Mm-hmm.
Writing some comic book stuff.
Hulk and Spider-Man.
That's going.
I've been working on a potential Batman graphic novel.
I'm hoping that gets off the ground.
Yeah. But that's a good one. That one made me cry. I saw the outline for that one the other day. Wow, it's really
yeah.
Good,
I've
guys.
Got. I actually gave copies of that to a few people and asked what they thought of it. And
what'd you hear?
Got some good response. I mean, you know, there's some good response. Some people I pitched it to verbally, and they're intrigued by it. I sent a copy to Chip Kidd. See what he thought of it. Yeah, it's going to be tricky to write, but I think I can pull it off.
The outline was beautifully illustrated, I gotta tell you.
I just have to get DC to sign off on it.
I think they will.
Oh, and speaking of
at least
DC,
I hope so. What?
We went to the...
I
went to the Spike Video Game Awards.
Well, I worked a lot last week.
What?
I said I worked a lot last week.
You're going to. We just barely see you.
Yeah. You were working like you couldn't even go to the Video Game Awards, and you lucked out.
I didn't like it. I like going to those things. They're fun.
Well, it would have been fun if you were there, but I was
because sitting... I bring the party, yo.
You do bring the party. But,
I was a white girl if I've ever heard one.
Actually, Mark Hamill texted me before the party and said, hey, come sit with us at our table. And it's like, okay, sure, that'll be fine. Because as far as I knew, I was just up in the boonies in the cheap seats. Then I get there and then we're all in the boonies in the cheap seats. And so we're all watching from the bleachers. It was like us and the Hamill family and Tara Strong and everybody who was nominated for voiceovers on Arkham. We're all kind of left together going like, I hope they feed us.
Yeah.
And Arkham won a few awards. It won Best Adapted Game and Adventure Game. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And the Joker won.
The Joker won for what?
Best Character.
He did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Who gets that award?
The Joker.
What?
He accepted it. They gave it to him.
Really?
Yeah. They had a CGI Joker on stage, and they, you know, it's like, thank you for this, and I don't have to shoot myself or you. And so he made a little speech. He also, you know, let some spoilers drop. And
did Mark have to go back and talk to Mike, or did they pre-record that?
They pre-recorded him.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's nice. Joker went home with a prize. Joker always wins prizes. He won the Best Supporting Actor. I mean, you know, it's a testament to that character. That character is so popular.
Well, he's so good.
Well, Heath Ledger. I mean, you know, and Jerry Robinson just died, you know, last week, the Joker's creator.
That's a drag.
Well, I mean, it says something when you create a character that goes on and has a life far beyond the creator. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready. What are you going to serve on Christmas Eve? You want to tell them what you're cooking? I just made some. I was baking yesterday. I made some cherry almond fudge,
which was delicious.
And so I have some. I'll give you guys a piece. I'll go cut it right now. And I made some maple walnut fudge.
Both sound awesome.
You want to try both?
Very domestic around here.
Yeah,
I'll definitely try a piece.
Christmas Eve, I think I'll make a turkey or maybe a ham or something, or maybe both. I don't know. I usually get pretty elaborate. Christmas Eve, I always cook for our friends, and actually I have to get on the stick and start inviting over some folks, so I know what to cook. But I don't know. This year, I think I'll do a turkey, or maybe I'll cook it in the smoker outside. If I start now, it'll be done by Christmas Eve. That's like 10 days away. Put on the Christmas carols and hang out, and that's pretty much our Christmas Eve. Just open up the door and see who shows up.
It's really nice that you guys just invite all your friends over for the holidays and just make it like about just hanging out.
And actually, you know, a lot of our friends are busy Christmas Eve, and they have, you know, families and places to be and everything. But, you know, these are folks, you know, who just, I don't know, it's just sort of like a loose ragtag group of folks who just have gotten in the habit of coming over here, and you know, we like to see them. So it's fun stuff, fun stuff. What are your Christmas plans? What are you guys doing?
Oh, wow. I've been so busy moving, I barely have any thoughts of what's going on past this.
Man.
Yeah, it's been an exciting couple weeks of just moving over here in the Burbank area.
Oh, yeah.
And just getting everything done and making sure everything happens and setting up this and that. And
God, what? Yeah. I hate moving.
Yeah, I've done it way too much. mm-hmm.
I could see making like one more major move, you know, that I would like to make. I would like to either like rebuild this house so it has more space, or else move to a new one. I think we'll probably look at seriously doing that in a year or two.
But ultimately, you like living in California?
I like California an awful lot. Los Angeles is, yeah. You know, there are worse parts of the state to live in, I'll say that. But I don't know. I'm a Northern California boy. That's where I grew up. So San Francisco is great, except you have to make $1 million a week to live there. Literally, you do. Yeah. You have to be making $1 million a week to live in San Francisco. I don't know how people live there. Either they make $1 million a week, or else they steal $500,000 from the people who make $1 million a week and use that to pay their rent. But I, you know, you can't walk down the street, you know, without money flying down your pocket. San Francisco is so damned expensive. Yeah. I can't believe it. I've got
just,
a brother
just entering and exiting the city. Sorry. You spend money.
Yeah, it just flies out of you. It's unbelievable. You know, it's like we used to go up for WonderCon. WonderCon's not in San Francisco this year. It's in Anaheim. That means we'll probably save about $400,000 by not going to WonderCon. But we would rent a car and then go over to the hotel. And paying for parking would be like getting the car a room. Wow. It would be that expensive. You know, it's I think it was like $80 a night to park for WonderCon. And I'm going like, this is insane. And so I think, you know, what we do is like we try and find out who's on the same flight from Burbank that we're on, and then we get to the airport together and we all like, hey, let's split a cab, you know, because cab's about $80 in, and but if you split it four ways, that's not quite so bad. But you know, I can't afford to eat in San Francisco. You can't afford to walk down the street in San Francisco. Yeah. It's just San Francisco, city of money gods. I don't know how anybody lives there. But still, it's a nice place. I grew up in the East Bay, just outside of San Francisco. And I don't think I'd want to move back there exactly, but probably midway, like Monterey, something like that. Monterey to me is like a perfect city. It got so big and then never went any bigger. Monterey I like a lot. The whole peninsula area. Santa Barbara's great. Up around Yosemite's great. California's great. But I don't know. I don't know if I was living up way up north near the Oregon border inland, I might go nuts up there.
Yeah.
It's Bigfoot country.
Yeah, I need a little bit of city or something. A little bit of happening.
Country's boring.
What?
I said the country is boring. There's just only so much stuff you can do.
Well,
I prefer entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with the country. I used to go camping all the time. My friend Trish, who I was talking about last week, was saying, oh, we should all go camping. And I said, no. She said, why? I said, it's boring. I used to go camping every weekend when I lived in Michigan to take pictures. And running around looking for somewhere to take pictures was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, it's kind of like, yeah. All right. Hey, look at there's a tree.
Well,
and another tree.
I don't know.
Always go look at a tree. Like, shit.
I kind of have a selective love of the country because I'll go out to like a nice area and see like a nice ranch or something,
yeah.
Or a home or something that's really beautiful, that's on a nice area property or a nice group of houses or everything that's, and it's far out in the country, and then you realize that once you're at the house, you're there. There's nothing else out there. And then, you know, you go into town and there's people looking at you who've lived there their whole life. And the first thing they say is, you're not from around here, are you?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of don't like you living here.
Mm-hmm.
So, not every place, but some places.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can hang up the city and then go someplace else, but, you know, be prepared.
Mm-hmm. You guys like that fudge?
Yeah.
It's really weird. Good. It's really dense. A lot.
Still good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot, though. It's like, ugh.
Thank you for the water.
Yeah, I knew you were going to need it because I looked at the size of those pieces of fudge and I was like, oh, that's a lot.
So what else is in the news outside of rescuing deer? Anything interesting?
No, not really. I don't really have anything else going on. It's just, you know, I mean, it was last week was a pretty crazy week. I mean, it was literally just run here, run there. And I didn't know what I was doing the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say, okay, well, what am I doing first thing in the morning?
Right.
And get my clothes out and get my costumes pressed and get everything. I was teasing Paul because I had a fortune teller gig. And I don't do a lot of that stuff, but it was really draining. Mm-hmm. But I came home and I wear this big, long, curly, dark wig. It looks like real hair, but it's not mine. It's a lot more hair than I actually have. But I took it off and laid it on the table and I said, my God, it looks like I scalped a fortune teller. And I thought, oh, I'm just so tired.
And it's lying there right now with the Mickey Mouse ears on top of it.
Uh-huh, it is. With Jeffrey on it. Yeah. Jeffrey, I have this mad hat. I don't know if we've ever talked about it on here before, but whenever I get angry. At Disneyland, they're notorious for wanting to see your ID before they'll embroider your name on a hat that you buy. They really are super strict. Like, it has to be a real name.
Remarkably, you cannot get mouse ears with the name Ass Face embroidered on the back.
I know. I don't know why.
I don't know.
My cousin Ass Face was so sad. Because I know. She was like, here's my chance to finally get something with my name on it because they don't, you know, it's not very common.
I have trouble.
And she walked up, you know, and the girl was like, what's your name? And she was like, Ass Face. And the lady was like, no.
It's French.
I know.
Ass Face.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, no, so they don't buy it.
Sad. They just, they won't. No matter how you spell it, no matter how many times you walk up with fake mustaches and monocles on, they just will not budge. And we really tried.
I wonder if you could have it put on in Braille. Like if you gave it to them written in Braille, you mm-hmm. know, like, well, this is my name and my name is Howard. Just put it on in Braille. And then I wonder if they could read it. They go, no, that's his Ass Face. I'm not going to put that on. No obscenities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the varsity hat and the funny voices, everything that we tried to do.
Yeah.
Just none of it worked. It was a drag.
No. We went in disguise. Yeah. They just still would not do it. So you have the Mad Hat, so you had Jeffrey put on there instead.
I did. I had Jeffrey put on there. I don't remember what I wanted on there. Ass you face.
It was an ass face.
That said Jeffrey on it.
I have what?
You said you had to show ID to get the name.
I know. Well, no, they're just really uptight. And I said, oh, it's for my son.
Yeah,
so
it's for
I
Jeffrey.
I just straight up friggin' lied. I just lied.
Jeffrey's a good name. Jeffrey's a good mad name. Somebody mad would have the name Jeffrey. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Like that crazy giraffe from Toys R Us.
Jeffrey Giraffe. Mm-hmm.
That's Joffrey, G-E-O. Oh,
okay. Joffrey.
This is Jeffrey, J-E-F-F. It's like Jeffrey in the Bill Cosby, Jeffrey, in the Jeffrey. Airplane. Yeah. Have you ever heard that routine that he does? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't been to Disneyland in a long time.
I haven't missed it.
We usually go around Christmas time.
Yes, we do.
We have a free pass.
Yes, we do. Actually, John and Laura sent us another one, didn't they?
Do we have to use it this year?
I think, I don't know, actually.
Do you want to go to Disneyland?
Sure. It's free. Because John and Laura are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Disneyland is free. It just costs you your soul.
We can get in and walk around and go on rides.
What a unique plan.
I know.
What the hell? He's looking at me like he's got this really big secret. He's like, we could get in. Listen, Muggsy is so not impressed.
Yeah.
What's your big idea?
Didn't we go to Disneyland?
Not eat there.
When was the last
time? We went to Disneyland 2 years ago. I know, right?
We went to Disneyland last year at Christmas at this exact same time.
And you said it was like a candy-colored Day of the Locust.
Yeah, it was awful.
You said it looked like a box of crayons had puked up and made everybody unpleasant.
Has it really been a year? I thought we went in between. Did we take Calla? No.
No.
I guess it has been a year since we
at
were
at least a year. I thought that was 2 years ago.
Well, they got the new Star Tours. You need to check that out.
Yeah. The new Star Tours?
Well, yeah, it's like 30 different versions of it.
What did we go on land? We went on the Toy Story ride. We went on that. We waited forever on the Toy Story ride.
Uh-huh. That was 2 years ago.
That was last year.
I don't know what happened.
It was last Christmas. We went on the Toy Story ride and we
waited. For the Buzz Lightyear shooting gallery ride?
Yeah. We waited forever to go on that. And
there's another new ride, Mermaid.
The Goofy ride.
I want to see Ursula, the big floppy Ursula.
We went on the Goofy ride too, and I think like, and you never heard the scream.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a Goofy roller coaster ride.
I
they
didn't
don't
go
use
on that.
The scream. Oh, you know what? I think I watched that on YouTube. I didn't actually go on it. It wasn't
okay.
Wow.
But I watched the whole thing, and they didn't do the scream. They didn't do the Goofy. You know.
Okay, you're
and
watching
remember
Disney
when the
rides.
Monsters came over and celebrated Christmas with us. Oh wait,
that was on TV.
That was on television.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we did go on the Toy Story ride.
Yeah.
And I remember waiting 7 days to get on the ride.
You know, you need a flask to walk around.
Dragging and dragging and waiting and watching by. And they had the line linked up. So you walk in and you go by Mr. Potato Head and he's saying something. And then it snakes around and you go by Mr. Potato Head again. And then you, then it goes snakes around up around the Goofy ride. And then you go back and you go by Mr. Potato Head again. So you keep walking by Mr. Potato Head. It takes you 7 hours to get on the ride. And as soon as you get on the ride, it's like, hey there, partner. Come to the big toy store.
Hope you had a good time.
Bang, bang, bang. See y'all again next time. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's like, what? It was over in 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was a drag.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot.
You know, I think the problem with Disneyland are there are far too few chickens with hats on everywhere. I think that's a problem with the world in general.
Chickens with hats? I've never seen a chicken with a hat
at
Disneyland.
There's one right there.
Well, I've seen there's one in our house.
Yeah, there's chickens with hats.
But I don't think I've ever seen a chicken with a hat at Disneyland.
No, I don't know that I have.
Not either. Even Donald. Donald Duck's cousins from the Three Caballeros and.
Do they wear hats? Yeah, they wear hats.
Well, yeah. Wait a minute. Panchito wears a hat. Yeah. So does Clara Cluck, for that matter.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
Yeah, there you go.
See chickens with hats.
What's that?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie wear hats.
Yeah, they're not chickens.
Oh, yeah.
They're ducklings.
Did I say chickens?
Yeah.
Oh, because I meant
birds. You meant
any
poultry?
I'm okay with any kind of bird, yeah. Mm. Fowl with hats.
Well, at Disneyland, most of the birds wear hats.
Yes. Except for the tiki room.
You've got a very conspiratorial delivery about everything you're talking about.
I was considering it. I was considering it very carefully before I spoke. Yes, it is true that the tiki room, the tiki room birds do not wear as hats as such.
No, they sing and the flowers bloom.
Yes, but on
the tiki.
But every other bird, every other animated bird, I think, wears a hat.
And yet no pants.
No pants.
Yeah, Jose Carioca, no pants.
Heath,
no pants.
No, he doesn't wear pants.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No pants.
Donald Duck, no pants.
No pants.
Panchito, I don't think, wears any pants, although he might wear chaps. He's got spurs.
You are killing me with your conspiratory.
Daisy Duck, no pants.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, that's, yeah.
A Daisy Duck, no pants.
Ew.
Scrooge McDuck, world's richest duck. Can he afford pants? No, he can't.
At least
Sleepheart
Longold has a kilt.
Yeah, I guess he does. Yeah, so he covers up his shame.
Who's this now?
Sleepheart Longold. He's Uncle Scrooge's.
He's the second richest duck.
Yeah, and Duck Perk.
Well, I thought Lucky, whatever his name was.
Oh, Gladstone?
Gladstone's
yeah.
Just
no, he's a bum.
Cousin. Yeah,
he's just a bum.
Does Gladstone wear pants?
No.
What?
His good luck keeps him from being arrested for indecent
Magic
exposure.
Magic Dispel doesn't either.
Magic Dispel wears a dress, though, doesn't she?
It's really high, though.
Is it like a waist-high dress?
Yeah, it's like a Daisy Duck dress.
Well, yeah, the female ducks, they have this weird feathery thing going on where the feathers kind of pass as like slips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or something. I think they wear panties or undergarments or something like that.
All right.
Never noticed.
It's a weird conversation.
Yeah. It's like birds are excused. Because of the nature of a bird's body, they're excused.
Feathered.
What?
It's because they're feathered?
They're feathered. Yeah. Well, it's like a stature thing. Okay, most Disney birds are shaped like pears. They're kind of pear-shaped like that. And they go down to these, you know, kind of waddly butts and legs. So they're excused from pants because pants would look weird on them. Like Howard the Duck. When Disney forced Howard the Duck to wear pants, he looked awful. You know, he just looked terrible.
You want to turn the pants around and have the tail come out of the zipper or something.
Yeah. Whereas, a notable exception is Gyro Gearloose, who's like a tall...
I was going to ask about Gyro Gearloose.
Like he's a chicken or a stork or some other... He's like a tall bird. He has to wear pants because, like the Beagle Boys, they cannot get away with being pantsless.
No.
Just too grotesque. They're too furry and hideous looking. So, you know, if you're a mammal, you have to wear pants.
But you don't have to wear a shirt.
No. Like Mickey can get away with just wearing the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but if you're mammals, go about with pants, except pigs, because they got that lower body thing going on. So the Three Little Pigs and, Porky Pig, who's not a Disney character, but same thing is excused from it. But if you're a humanoid or an animal, a mammal, generally you have to wear pants. That's sort of the rule.
Okay.
You didn't know this.
I did not care about it either.
Wake up.
I didn't. It's interesting, sort of.
It's not interesting. Really, it's really boring.
It's not.
It's what animation geeks sit around talking about, like why some animals wear pants and some don't.
Sounds like an Anthrocon conversation to me.
Yeah, we're getting into furry territory. Sort of, yeah. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, that's not. That doesn't make any of us feel comfortable.
Let's paddle away from these waters.
Yes.
So, all right, beyond our realm, what happened in the news this week? The big wide world, anything interesting?
No.
Anybody making trouble?
No.
Anything interesting going
on?
No. What's happening?
Hey, Mercury's finally out of retrograde.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, that's news. Oh, it is to me. Yes, Ezra's laughing like
so. No, I remember the last time we brought it up.
Oh my God. You know, right. It's
the
really
shadow of doom has been lifted from our home then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that why my printer started working again?
That is exactly why your printer started working again. Technology, communication, and travel all go to the shit when Mercury is in retrograde. And it just left. And it just left Metro. It just left retrograde today. So, technically tomorrow, but today. And just this morning, my iPhone got fixed. And, I mean, it was like everything that was wrong. I was just like, SOB, here we go. And usually, it happens like every 3 months or so. And almost every time it's in retrograde, I'm booked at the Magic Castle with Jonathan Pendragon doing metaphysics. Wow. I don't know what the deal is. And this time we were booked this weekend, but they must have found out it would be out of retrograde by then because they rescheduled us for 2012. Oh. And I can almost guarantee you that I could probably look at the calendar and tell you about when it'll be because it's going to be when Mercury's in retrograde.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. So we need to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. What a dull one this was.
Pogo doesn't wear any pants.
Are you on this again?
Rashi doesn't wear any pants.
No, I don't! And you can't make me!
Well, I wouldn't want to. I mean, he walks around naked and flaunting
his shirt. Well, it's my identification, pal. I gotta show everybody my rash.
I guess that's so.
Well, it says butt salute.
Oh, there you are, cover pal. That up.
Yeah, baby.
Poppy, I want to wear pants.
Super Rika, you don't need pants.
But I want them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I crave pants. I do not want to walk around in
I crave shame. A Hot Pocket.
A Hot Pocket?
Yeah, doesn't that sound good?
Well, actually, that does sound pretty good. Where can these be obtained?
Oh, at the store.
Okay, I think we're going to adjourn and go to the store.
We are. We're done.
Yes. Tune in next week for our big Christmas jukebox show.
Yeah, baby.
I think that will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we're putting together some good music and stuff. Uh-huh. I'm rehearsing already.
That sounds terribly out of tune.
Okay, let's go to the store.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Hey, this is Paul again. We'll be back on the 23rd with a special Christmas jukebox. And then we're going to go into winter hibernation for about a week or so. We'll be back the first week of January with a brand new show. So look for us then.